This morning in our study, we asked the question, how will you be remembered? With emphasis on you as an individual. You have to decide that. And you're determining that every day by how you live. As am I. This afternoon, as a companion to that, we're asking the question, how will we be remembered? Like individuals, churches are remembered. The reading from Paul's epistle to the Philippians has set the stage for our study. When the apostle made reference to his thanksgiving for this church, saying in Philippians 1 and in verse 3, I thank my God upon every remembrance of you. How is this church remembered? Paul said, for your fellowship in the gospel. Likewise, when he wrote the church at Thessalonica in 1 Thessalonians 1 and verse 2, he said, we give thanks to God always for you all, making mention of you in our prayers, remembering. How is this church remembered? Paul said, your work of faith and labor of love and patience of hope. 1 Thessalonians 1 and verse 3. When you think of churches listed in the New Testament, different memories come to mind. For example, what do you think of when you hear the church at Ephesus? You might remember how that in Revelation 2 and in verse 4, the Lord said, I have somewhat against thee, because thou hast left thy first love. How'd you like to be remembered that way? As the church that left their first love. Or when you drop down to verses 14 and 15, the church at Pergamos, be remembered as a compromising church. How'd we like to be remembered that way? When the Lord said, I have a few things against thee, because thou hast there them that hold the doctrine of Balaam, who taught Balak to cast a stumbling block before the children of Israel, to eat things sacrificed unto idols and to commit fornication. So hast thou also them that hold the doctrine of the Nicolaitans, which thing I hate. How'd you like to be remembered that way? Or, like the church at Thyatira, as a tolerant church. In verse 20, the Lord said, I have a few things against thee, because thou sufferest that woman Jezebel, which calleth herself a prophetess, to teach and to seduce my servants to commit fornication and to eat things sacrificed unto idols. Some of these churches aren't remembered in a very good way, are they? How'd you like to be remembered as the church that was dead? You know, as individuals die, churches do too. In Revelation, notice the third chapter. How that in verse 1, under the church at Sardis, the Lord said, thou hast a name that thou livest and art dead. We don't want to be remembered that way, as a lifeless church. And then in chapter 3 and verse 10, of the church at Thyatira, Philadelphia, rather. Because thou hast kept the word of my patience, I also will keep thee from the hour of temptation. Here's a patient church, an obedient church. That'd be a good way to be remembered, wouldn't it? And so when you hear of different churches, you think of different things, don't you? I wonder what people think of when they think of the church at Terre Haute. How will we be remembered when folks come and go? Well, let me ask you a few questions along that line. First of all, will we be remembered as having the unity of the Spirit? One of the great pleas that the apostle made throughout his writings was the plea for unity. And he did that like in Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 3 when he said, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. But some churches are known for not having this kind of unity, but for internal strife, for fussing and fighting. They have a reputation for not being able to get along with each other. I hope we're not thought of that way, that we'll not be remembered as a contentious group of people. There are some churches, they have that reputation. They're a bunch of contentious people. And when you think of churches that had problems along that line, you probably think of the church at Corinth. They remembered that way. In 1 Corinthians 1, when Paul said in verse 10, I beseech you, brethren, by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that you all speak the same thing, and that there be no divisions among you, but that you be perfectly joined together in the same mind and the same judgment. For it has been declared unto me of you, my brethren, by them which are the house of Chloe, that there are contentions among you. What a terrible way to be remembered as a contentious church. Are we known as disciples in the first century are remembered of being of one heart and of one soul? Acts 4:32 says the multitude of them that believe were of one heart and of one soul. I hope that's how we'll be remembered, as the church that possessed the unity of the Spirit. Now, for us to be remembered that way, it's up to each one of us to have the proper attitude toward unity, to commit ourselves to speaking the same thing, to being of the same mind, and not tolerating, no, not for a minute, the sowing of discord among brethren, knowing God hates it and it is abhorrent to him. In fact, in the letter to the Romans, chapter 16, Paul said, mark them which cause divisions and offenses contrary to the doctrine which you have learned, and avoid them. Romans 16:17. Let me ask us another question along this line. How will we be remembered? Will we be remembered as a place where the truth was always taught? These days it's difficult to find a place where you can go and have confidence that the truth, and nothing but the truth, will be taught 100% of the time. That's not the case in a lot of places. Are you aware of that? I hope we'll be remembered that way. That whenever I attended there, or I visited there, when I was a member there, that I knew the truth was going to be taught. That's important, because the church is the pillar and ground of the truth. 1 Timothy 3 and verse 15. I didn't have to worry about any error being mixed in or slipped in. 1 Timothy 3:15, Paul said, if I tarry long, that thou mayest know how thou oughtest to behave thyself in the house of God, which is the church of the living God, the pillar and ground of the truth. That the church at Terre Haute will be remembered as the church that upheld the truth, that supported the truth, as the pillar and ground of the truth, that didn't compromise the truth. I hope we'll be remembered like the church at Thessalonica for sounding out the word of the Lord. In 1 Thessalonians 1 and verse 7, so that you were in samples to all that believe in Macedonia and Achaia, for from you sounded out the word of the Lord, not only in Macedonia and Achaia, but also in every place your faith of God were to spread abroad. I hope we'll be remembered that way. And for us to be remembered as a place where the truth is always taught, that's up to each one of us. To demand that the truth, the whole truth and nothing but the truth, be taught from this place. That those teaching classes and preaching will always preach the truth. Some places will tolerate that, but they'll tolerate some that don't always preach the truth like they ought to. And so we need preachers in the pulpit who are committed to it, and members in the pew who demand it, who insist upon it. Another question I have. Will we be remembered as people who do all in the name of the Lord? Colossians 3:17. Well, I don't memorize it if we haven't already. And whatsoever you do, what does that leave out? Anything? I don't know of anything, do you? If you know of something that leaves out, you let me know. In word or deed, that's what we say, that's what we teach, and That's what we do, what we practice. Do all in the name of the Lord Jesus. You know, our religious world has that mixed up as to what it means to do something in the name of the Lord. A fellow might be painting a wall and he says, I'm doing this in the name of the Lord Jesus. Well, that doesn't mean it's by his authority, does it? That's what that expression suggests, by his power, by his authority. A good place to realize that is in Acts chapter 4, when the apostles were questioned about the man they healed at the temple gate. In Acts 4 and verse 7, by what power or by what name have you done this? And so to do all in the name of the Lord is to do it by his power. And he has all power. Matthew 28:18, he said, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. And so we must respect his authority. Will we be remembered as having respected the authority of Christ in all things, as demanding book, chapter, and verse for everything that we teach and practice? And if we don't have a thus saith the Lord, we're not going to do it. Recognizing Christ is the head over all things through the church. Ephesians 1, 22-23. I hope we'll be remembered that way. Maybe some of those who are attending schools here that spend some time among us, and maybe after they graduate, they end up somewhere else. We'd like to keep them, but some of them, you know how it is. They'll remember this place as being a place where people are committed to doing all in the name of the Lord. I'll tell you something else along that line. Will we be remembered as a warm and friendly bunch? Will we? You ever go some places and you wonder if they knew you were there or not? And you just kind of slip in and slip out and nobody says anything to you? Made you feel real welcome, didn't it? Next time you're passing through, you'll probably stop off there, won't you? And you might not either. Might go on down the road somewhere if you can, right? Some places develop a reputation for being cold and unfriendly. That's sad. The Lord's people ought never develop a reputation like that. Will we be remembered as a church where there was lots of togetherness? In Acts 2 and verse 44, the Bible says, all that believed were together. Notice how that had an impact on growth. Verse 47, the Lord added to the church daily. I like to be with people who like to be together. How about you? In some places, it's hard to get people together. You ought to look up that word together in the scriptures. This book puts a lot of emphasis on the Lord's people being together. How we're to be knit together. We're to strive together. One of these days, when the Lord comes, we'll be caught up together. We'll live together throughout all eternity. Won't that be wonderful? And yet you can plan some things and you try to get people together in some places, and it's like those who started making excuses with the Lord. I married a wife and I bought some ground and I got this and that and I can't. And that's sad. Will we be remembered as a group of people where the people know one another and care for one another? We need to learn everybody's name, to know each other. The only way we can do that really is by being together. Hard to know people if you're not together with them, isn't it? And so have them in your home. Stop by and see them. That's important. 1 Corinthians 12 and verse 25 says that the members should have the same care one for another. How much care I have for you, you have for me, and we have for the next person. Right? That's why some of us would go together down to the hospital and sing some songs together and pray together and read scripture together. As a sister in Christ was about to go the way of all the earth. Will we be known as those who love one another as the Lord loves us? In John chapter 13, 34 and 35, a new commandment I give unto you, Jesus said, that you love one another as I've loved you, that ye also love one another. By this shall all men know that you're my disciples, if ye have love one to another. Somebody might say, I've been A lot of different places. I don't know of any place where I've seen more love or experienced more care than when I was with the church in Terre Haute. I'd like for us to be remembered that way. How about you? But you know, for us to be remembered that way, it's up to you and it's up to me, isn't it? So we can be remembered as a warm and friendly bunch. That starts with us as individuals, greeting one another, greeting folks, expressing care for one another, weeping, rejoicing with one another. Let me ask you another question. How will we be remembered? Will we be remembered as having practiced discipline as the Bible teaches when the situation demanded it? You know, there are some places where just about anything and everything goes. And folks can just kind of come and go as they please and live like they want to. And nothing ever said or done about it. When you read this book, you read where the Lord never has tolerated error. In 2 Thessalonians 3 and verse 6, like it or not, from time to time, we must administer discipline in accordance with the Lord's will. He said, "We command you, brethren, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that ye withdraw yourselves from every brother that walketh disorderly, and not after the tradition which he received of us." We've had to do that on occasion. That's never pleasant. But it's done in order for the church to be obedient to the Lord's will, to keep the church pure, and in an effort to save the soul of the individual. As Paul said in 1 Corinthians chapter 5, and in verse 5, "Deliver such an one unto Satan for the destruction of the flesh, that the spirit may be saved in the day of the Lord Jesus." Will we be remembered as not having allowed godliness or ungodliness and sin to be tolerated? As Paul said in Titus 2, he made his appeal to godliness. And in verse 12, "Teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world." How will we be remembered? One other question. Will we be remembered as a working church? Working. You know, there are things that come to mind when you think about the children out of captivity. Come home from Babylon. One of the things I remember about those people is the fact that they were a working people. In Nehemiah chapter 4, remember the wall and the situation? It was very distressful. Nehemiah had a change in countenance. The king saw it, granted him permission to go back. His petition was that I may build it. He said, you know, somebody needs to do something about that, didn't he? No, he said that I may build it. And it's easy for a lot of people to just kind of sit around and see things that need to be done, or maybe don't even know anything needs to be done, and say somebody needs to do that. Not these people. Nehemiah 4 and verse 6. They built the wall in a very short period of time because the Bible says they had a mind to work. And when you have that mind and I have that mind, no telling what we can get done. That's the mind the Lord had, right? He said, "I must work the works of him that sent me while it is day. Make hay while it's day." You ever heard that? And he said in his prayer to the Father in John 17, "I finished the work you gave me to do." A lot of unfinished work because of a failure to be a working people. A lot of places are dead. He asked churches. Maybe talk to elders. Maybe they're interested in you working with them. Some places, they want somebody to come in and do all their work for them. And criticize you as you do it. Complain about it. Not this church. I hope we'll not be remembered that way. But they think they want a preacher to come in and work with them. And you ask them about that. They don't have any inkling as to any work. They haven't had any vision, no plans or anything. Nothing going on, no activity. What about us? Think about that. Well, here you got an eldership group of people. We're looking for somebody to come help us, to work with us. Here are things we want to do, we want to accomplish. Would you be with us? Would you help us in that? Where would you rather be? Think about that. How will this church be remembered?
as a working church?
We sing about it, don't we? There's much to do. There's work on every hand. There's room in the kingdom for the small things that you can do. And when you do your small things, and I do my small things, all that adds up to some big things, doesn't it? And so it's up to this church as to how this church is going to be remembered. Right? It's up to you. It's up to me as members. It's not a matter of you. Sometimes somebody says, your work or their work. Right? Or what they're doing. But it's up to us and we and our. We include ourselves in that. Right? If this church is to be what God would have it to be, it is up to me. Each one ought to say that. It's up to you. It's up to me as individual members of it. And so, how are we going to be remembered? You and I working together determine that. We'll have to decide that. Right? And how the Lord views this church. What's he think about us? Remember what he said to those churches in Asia? I wonder what he's thinking right now about the church here. Would he say, I have somewhat against thee? Or would we be like one that he had nothing against, but that he praised? You know, there will come a time, and I don't always know when that happens, but if the church isn't what it ought to be, the Lord will remove the candlestick. And that's sad, isn't it? I hope that day will never come when the church here at Terre Haute will be remembered in a way that would not be pleasing and acceptable to the Lord. And the Lord would say, I'll remove your candlestick. But in order for us to be remembered in the way that we'd want to be, it's up to each one of us to supply our part to make that happen. In Ephesians 4:16, Paul said, from whom the whole body fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplieth, according to the effectual working in the measure of every part, maketh increase of the body under the edifying of itself in love. So you just ask yourself, if Paul were writing to this church like he did the church at Philippi or the church at Thessalonica, would he say, I thank my God for you always remembering? And what would he remember about us? If there are any changes that need to be made, let's make those. Any corrections in your life to be what you ought to be, to help this church be a blessing and a glory unto God, without blemish, without spot, without wrinkle, any such thing. If you need to say, I've sinned, we hope you have the courage and conviction to do it. If you've not been added to the church, you can be by being baptized into Christ. While we stand and while we sing, we invite you to come.